All right, then give me just a moment. We have a little technical difficulty on Facebook. Almost done. Hopefully, that will take care of it.
It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in is called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in your day, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way.
Amen. God bless you. I just realized that I'm going to have to change the title of today's broadcast. It's actually the Gospel in Hebrews chapter 9, and I put Hebrews chapter 10. I don't think I can edit it at this time. I'll probably have to wait. Let me see. Edit live video. Let me see if it'll let me do that. Just want to have the title right. Gospel in Hebrews 9. All right, praise the Lord. Let's see if it will. Repost. Yeah, just been having some challenges today, but God is good, and we hope that it'll all be fixed. Okay, all right. Hopefully that'll work out. All right, friends, God is good. At this time, we will have our opening prayer. Our wife, Andrinda, will take us to the throne of grace.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come today before you to have this time of worship, we pray for your spirit to be with us. We ask that you will anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and bless us this morning by granting us wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time. Thank you.
The Gospel in Hebrews 9. We have several verses to read. We have 28, as a matter of fact. So let's just dive right in and let the Spirit of God lead us today. All right, friends, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this truth, for the truth. We ask that you bless us as we study. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, friends, let's pray. Let's read on, rather. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So let's pause. Remember, God gave Israel the same covenant he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do in Exodus 19, and then in verse 24, they repeated chapter 19 and chapter 24. And then in chapter 24, around verse 7, blood was spilled. That created a separate covenant. It had the same basic components. It's just that they added some faulty promises because they didn't keep it. So it was a separate covenant, but it was ratified. Keep in mind, it was ratified. Therefore, since Jesus hadn't died yet, it was called a separate covenant because it was ratified by blood of animals, the blood of Jesus. But the covenant offer of salvation was the same. And it also, because Christ hadn't come yet, had certain requirements that they had to do until Christ died. The only difference, brothers and sisters. So it says it had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. But there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And so, my brothers and sisters, you have the most holy place, the holy place and the most holy place. That is what's in the tabernacle in heaven. I've had some people that try to basically they cast doubt on the whole sanctuary service because they say, well, where's the outer court? But the Bible doesn't say the outer court is in heaven. It says Jesus went up to a different and better tabernacle. The outer court does represent an experience of Christ while he was on the earth. He spilled his blood as the lamb or the bullock was slain on that altar, and as the priest could wash himself. Remember when Jesus died, there came out blood and water. Basically, the blood allows for pardon of our sin, but the water is a representation of a new heart, a new life, okay? Then you continue on into the tabernacle where you maintain and grow in your walk with God. So I want to make sure you all understand, the Bible tells us in, where is that verse? Psalm 77, 13, I believe, or 3. But it says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Okay? So what is the way? Jesus said, I am the way in John 14, 6. If you want to understand the plan of redemption, you've got to understand the sanctuary. So if this is going over anybody's head, just wake up. The sanctuary service of the Old Testament was given to teach us the plan of redemption. A lamb had to be slain or an animal had to be killed. The priest had to wash. When you give your heart to Christ, you're a new creature, and the blood covers. It forgives. It's like it covers you, and it's not seen anymore. However, at a later time, brothers and sisters, in the year, the record of your sins was blotted out. That's why after the death of Christ, Peter said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So people who deny the sanctuary, they don't know what to do with that scripture because it points forward to a time when the sin is blotted out. When Jesus had already died, when Peter preached that sermon. So we need the cross. We need to dwell on the cross. But we need to let it be known what the cross does. The cross saves us in the sense that it forgives us and allows for us to have a new heart because we get a substitute. Christ substitutes his merit in place of ours, and we are forgiven. However, heaven is not secured unless God proves that a people can overcome sin. That's how heaven is secured, because unlike some of us, God will not force anybody. So if you're once saved, always saved, that is forced. What if I don't want to go to heaven? Well, you're going to have to go anyway because you gave your heart to me. What does that sound like? But I don't want to go. I want to go to hell. If somebody wants to go to hell, God's not going to force them to go to heaven. It's only the devil that operates on force, my brothers and sisters. So if you are in a church where you believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, that is a lie, brothers and sisters, and you need to come out of that lie. And you need to come out of that church, my brothers and sisters, for the Bible says God seeks a certain kind of people to worship him in John chapter 4. It's what it says. It says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Well, what kind of worship was it? It was in spirit and in truth. That means if you're not worshiping where you're hearing the truth, it's not worship that heaven approves. Now, God is so merciful, we learn in the book of Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, God winks at our ignorance. But then it says in verse 31, but now he commandeth all men to repent. That means he's not going to leave you in ignorance. He's going to find you in ignorance, but he's not going to leave you in ignorance. And so if you choose to stay and choose to continue to be where error is taught, my brothers and sisters, God is not going to, he's going to bear long with you, but he can't take you to heaven because there's truth up there. They don't believe once saved, always saved up there. They don't believe it's all right to worship on Sunday up there. That's not what they believe. They worship on the Sabbath up there. So why would you want to worship on Sunday and they worship on Sabbath up in heaven and you want to go to heaven? Well, you say, well, I'll change when I get to heaven. Well, the Bible says you're not going to change when you get to heaven. For the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. What Jesus is saying in that verse is your moral compass will be set and locked in before I come, because the next verse said, and behold, I come quickly to give to every man according as his work shall be. So whatever decisions you made prior to the close of probation, see, there's a close of probation, brothers and sisters, before Jesus comes, you're going to be locked in to your moral state. So if you're half-stepping, okay, giving God partial, okay, keeping most of the commandments, the book of James says, and this is beautiful because I was studying this morning, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about when I mention a book called The Ministry of Healing. And when it defines, this is why I was studying it, when it defines health, it talks about how disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. It didn't say from violation of the laws of health. And I was like, why does it say a violation of the laws of health? You know, all I'm doing is eating some chicken, everything else. I'm getting sunlight. I'm getting water. I'm getting, and I didn't say eating clean meat was a sin. I just said it's still a violation in the sense that once you know better, our bodies are not strong enough as the bodies in the Bible, and we can't handle a flesh diet. When you eat the flesh of a dead animal, it does not bring life, my brothers and sisters. And so I know I'm deviating a little bit, but I just want you to understand a violation is because the Bible says in the book of James, I think it's chapter 2, verse 10, it said, he that keepeth the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. So if you keep all, you don't lie, you don't kill, you don't steal, you sleep with your spouse if you're married. If you're not, you're not sleeping with anybody. You don't bow down to idols, but you don't keep the Sabbath. The Bible says you broke all of them. That's what the Bible says. But guess what? There's some evil Sabbath, such Sabbath keepers, and not really keeping the Sabbath. but they go to church on Saturday. Because if you are evil, you're not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a reminder that God created you anew, a new heart, created me a clean heart. The Sabbath is a reminder of God's creative power. Okay, let's read on, brothers and sisters. So I think I gave it to you straight there. We have to teach the truth because we love you. You see, a lot of people don't love you. They just want you. They just want your tithe and offering. They want your physical body to sit in their pews so that they can say they got a big church with lots of people. Brothers and sisters, I'd rather have one or two, two or three, and we know truth. That's what you're going to get here, but you're going to get it in love at the same time. We're not going to abuse you, use you, and refuse you. Amen? That's not what God does. God loves us with an everlasting love. All right. The Bible mentions the second veil because there were two veils. There was the veil that took you into the holy place, and the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That's the most holy place. It says, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Now, it's very interesting. I'm going to read something to you because a lot of people try to say that all the laws were the same and that all of it was done away with at the cross. The Baptist Church teaches that. The Methodist Church teaches that. The Presbyterian Church teaches that. And most other Sunday churches teach that. Let me read to you from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 16 and 21. Okay? And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony. That's the Ten Commandments. Which I shall give thee, and thou shalt put the mercy seat up on the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. So where was the Ten Commandments that God made and gave to Moses? Inside. Think about a chest. It was inside the ark, inside the chest. Chapter 40, now verse 20. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above up on the ark. So you have it very clear. The Ten Commandments was a document on stone engraved with God's finger put inside the ark. Let me read now to you from Deuteronomy 31:26. Take the book of the law. That's what Moses wrote. That's separate from the Ten Commandments. And put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So one was in the ark, the other was in a side pocket of the ark. My brothers and sisters, the ordinances was part of what Moses wrote. It was not the Ten Commandments. So just keep that in mind as we keep studying, because remember, it says that it had divine ordinances in the Old Covenant. That would tell you the Ten Commandments is still binding because it wasn't part of what Moses wrote. All right. And over it, the cherubims, that's angels with two wings, and of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Now, it's very interesting. He said when they were ordained, guess what? Moses ordained them. Moses is a symbol of Christ. We call him a type of Christ because Christ leads us into the promised land. Moses was to lead them into the promised land, even though he sinned once in 40 years by striking the rock. God was so merciful. Moses got to go to heaven after he died. God surprised that young brother in his 80s. Okay, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. You see, he only went into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. That means that once Christ went into the most holy place, quite possibly, to find out if his sacrifice, he rose from the grave. God allowed a woman with all kind of sin who had been converted, ladies, probably all kind of sexual sin, had been abused. But that's who got to see him first at his resurrection. God's not like us. We point fingers at people. We label people, and we remember their sin. God doesn't do that. He allowed Mary Magdalene, who had been possessed with seven devils, perfect number of devils. He thought he had total control over her fully, but she had a will, and she put her will on the side of God, my friend. And so the bottom line is that Jesus told Mary, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Then later on, he let them touch him. That means he had to go to heaven. So Jesus may have gone into the holy and most holy before he started his priestly ministry, just like Moses had to go and anoint the sanctuary before Aaron would become the high priest. But when Aaron became the high priest, he could only go in once a year. That represented Christ's end time judgment, where in 1844, he went in according to the prophecy in Daniel 8:14. It said, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it says, from the going forth of the commandment in Daniel 9:27, until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62. That means from 457 B.C. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, I have some people that teach that, I know some people that teach that there were, see, there were three decrees from Persian kings, Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. And some people start dating it with Cyrus. That's wrong. Let me tell you how I can prove it. It said from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build. Darius's was just to build. Cyrus's was just to build. It wasn't until Artaxerxes came that he restored government. You can't restore an a nation without giving it government. Artaxerxes' decree allowed for penalties for breaking the law and policing powers and the powers to establish government. That's why we know the final decree is the one you start from, and therefore that's what lines up with the 70-week prophecy allowing for the anointing of Jesus at his baptism to be done after 483 years, just like the Bible says. And then 3.5 years later, Messiah would be cut off, just like the Bible said. Jesus died in AD 31. You can't fight that. It's prophetic. It's already historic is what I meant to say. The history books repeat it, okay? And then in AD 34, the gospel went to the Gentiles. That was the ending of Jewish probation, the probation of the Jewish nation. Jewish people can be saved, but the nation of the Jews was no longer considered his chosen people at that time. And so, my brothers and sisters, that's the beginning of that prophecy. So God allowed, there's four things prophesied: the time of Jesus' baptism, the time of his death, and the time that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, and then the time that Jesus would enter the most holy place. And if all three are historical, meaning they've happened a long time ago, and distantly historical, and we could show that those three things happen on the very dates the Bible says, then the fourth thing should happen on the very date the Bible says. It was on October 22nd, 1844, that Jesus moved from the holy to the most holy, just like it says here, but into the second went the high priest alone once a year without, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So that means Jesus hadn't started that aspect of his ministry while the first tabernacle was standing. It says, which was a figure. That means it was a symbol for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances. Now, I'm going to blow your mind a little bit for those of you who thought that the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. This is, we're in Hebrews 9. We're going to come back to Hebrews 9, but I'm going to take you to Colossians chapter 3, my brothers and sisters. You see, some people just try to preach to the choir. I don't preach to the choir. Whoever wants to hear can hear this message, brothers and sisters. I'm not an apostle to the Jews. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I'm not an apostle technically, but my point is, some of us are here to reach souls, not just to teach and preach to people who have heard this message over and over and over and over again, and it becomes a dead letter to them, and so they've got to have something else to make life exciting because they're not living the message, and so they got to have dance music and everything like the world so they can get a high every Sabbath. I'm not here to preach to you, but I'm here to preach to you, if you understand what I'm saying. You can hear, too. We all need it, but the point being made is, there are people listening to this message that don't know this truth, have never heard these things. And if they have heard them, they've never heard them this way, because a lot of times the way things are taught, they're taught in a legalistic kind of way, because we want to just show that we know the truth, that we are the remnant church and all these kinds of things. We have bigotry and pride all in our midst. Can't even talk to the pastor, can't even disagree with him, and or he's going to talk to the board and get you off the board. We act like this is the Democrats and the Republican Party in our board meeting. Church is full of politics, brothers and sisters. And guess what? Jesus is not there because he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight? That's why, my brothers and sisters, when you watch the political scheme, you got to understand they're fighting in a worldly way, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. But any Republican that's slamming the Democrats because they're going after President Trump, they're just trying to make sure that they get the vote of the Republican Party, okay? Because nobody's above the law. They shouldn't have an issue with anybody being dealt with who committed a crime. But guess what? The Democrats are the same. So here, let me tell you, Christ, if he was on this earth, he would not be Democrat. He would not be Republican because he would not countenance homosexuality and he would not countenance mob violence at the Capitol. I just gave you some things that affected both of you. Can't say that I'm biased. All right, Colossians chapter 3. And we're looking at verse 14 and 15. Remember, it said that the first tabernacle had, the one on the earth, had meats and drinks and carnal ordinances. Watch this. Look at verse 14 of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I'm sorry, it's not Colossians 3. It's Colossians 2. Okay, Colossians 2, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Remember, we showed you the writings of Moses had the ordinance, but the Ten Commandments was a separate place. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Remember, the old covenant had meat offerings, or in drink, it had drink offerings, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Those were the carnal ordinances, which are a shadow of things to come. The seventh day Sabbath is not shadowy. It pointed backward to creation. But these carnal ordinances pointed forward to some aspect of Christ's ministry, brothers and sisters. And so there you have it. I want to go back to Hebrews 9. I just wanted to show you that when Hebrews 9 mentions meats, drinks, divers washing, carnal ordinances, those were the ceremonial Sabbaths that happened annually. All right, let's keep reading. Let's look at our time. Okay, it's 6:30. We will continue. We will not have our, most likely, we won't have our transition song. We're going to go right into Sister Lenny's message on health for today, which is, I think it's dangerous ailment, deceptive ailment it is. Looking forward to that. Verse 11, but Christ being come high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, there's one in the earth that was done away with. There's a more perfect one in heaven. It didn't say an outer court. It said a perfect tabernacle, the holy place and most holy place, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament by that means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Okay? So Christ was the one who died. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So he likens the testament to a will. The will goes in force after the death of the testator. So the reality is Christ is the true testator, and so the new covenant would be in full force. But the covenant was given to Abraham. It was just that Jesus hadn't died yet. So when God took a risk in bringing resurrecting Moses. God took a risk in bringing, who was it, Enoch up to heaven. God took a risk in bringing Elijah up to heaven, because if Jesus had failed, they would have had to come back down and die. God had faith in his son, and Jesus came through, and they don't have to come back down and die, okay, because they look forward to what Christ would do. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. It didn't say the Ten Commandments. He sprinkled the book. He sprinkled the book. The old covenant had things that were in a book. The new covenant is the Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters. It's not what was sprinkled by the ratification of the old covenant. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Remember I told you Moses did that before Aaron became high priest, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So we can't be forgiven without the blood of Jesus, friends. Let it apply to you, but don't just take it unworthily. If Jesus has cleansed you, that means you've got to stay clean. You've got to go into the holy place, which means the table of showbread represented the word of God. You've got to stay in God's word. The altar of incense in the holy place represented prayer. You've got to continue in prayer. And then the golden candelabra, the golden candlesticks, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. That means you've got to do service to others. And so, friends, that's how we maintain our clean life. The word, prayer, Bible study, prayer, and serving others. If you're not involved in that, then your Christian walk is not strengthened. And any one of them lacking, friends, will keep you from gaining the victory. Some people are so weak morally. That's because we're not in the word. We haven't surrendered to God first, which is what you do in the outer court. Then we don't stay in the word, and we don't stay in prayer constantly, and we don't serve others. You can't be serving others if you're sinning with others. Did you know that? You can't be serving others if you're sinning with others. Have mercy on us. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto all men, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. See, the Bible says we die, but there was a future judgment that he wrote about. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. See, if you're looking for him, then you'll get your life right when Jesus is in the most holy place, which is where he is now, shall appear the second time without sin. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. Well, actually, I believe we have time for our song. We're going to go ahead and do our intermission song. Then we'll come back and hear Deceptive Ailments from Sister Liddy. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father, be with us as we've heard the gospel in Hebrews 9. Help us, Lord, to grow in grace and surrender to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends. Torso song. Thank you.
there's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved, you can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered, this is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time now to hear from Sister Lenny. The topic is deceptive ailments.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. This morning's health segment is coming from the Medical Ministry, page 107. Deceptive ailments. I feel sad for those who are not only deceived themselves in thinking that they are sick, but who are kept deceived by their parents and friends, who pet their ailments and relieve them from labor. If these were so situated as to be compelled to labor, they would scarcely notice difficulties, which, while indolent, keep them in bed. Physical exercise is a precious blessing from both mental and physical ailments. Exercise with cheerfulness would in many cases prove a most effective restorer to the complaining invalid. Useful employment would bring into exercise the enfeebled muscles and would enliven the stagnant blood in the system and would arouse the torpid liver to perform its work. The circulation of the blood would be equalized and the entire system invigorated to overcome bad conditions. I frequently turn from the bedside of these self-made invalids saying to myself, dying by inches, dying of indolence, a disease which no one but themselves can cure. I sometimes see young men and women who might be a blessing to their parents if they would share with them the cares and burdens of life. But they feel no disposition to do this because it is not agreeable but is attended with some weariness. They devote much of their time in vain amusement to the neglect of duties necessary for them to perform in order to obtain an experience which will be of great value to them in their future battles with the difficulties of real life. They live for the present only and neglect the physical, mental, and moral qualifications which would fit them for the emergencies of life and give them self-reliance and self-respect in times of trial and danger. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful, healthy day.
Amen. Amen. You got to get it moving. You got to get that exercise. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, we have about 14 minutes to the top of the hour, and we'll go ahead and open the phone lines. If there is anyone with a comment, question, testimony about any subject we would like to talk about, be on today's topic, it could be on other topics, And I want to encourage you to invite someone else that you might know who may want to hear the truth to join us on this broadcast. On the phone call, they can actually text 728-2014-29 and ask and put the words, call me, and it should call them back within a couple of minutes, it says. And those on Facebook, you know, tell others about these morning worships. We appreciate you all being here with us. Times of Refreshing Simplicity of Eden Ministry, also known as Torso Ministry. It is a ministry, 100%, and we do this work full-time. If you'd like to be supportive of Torso, you can do so by writing to us at Post Office Box 208, Curtisville, Pennsylvania, 15032. You can also use our website, and there are donate buttons there. And if you would like to or prefer to use a credit card over the phone or keep one on file, or if you use Zelle and Cash App, those kind of things, the money will get transferred. You'll be credited for it, and you'll get your donation receipt once a year for, unless you need it more often, for tax purposes. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to take our first caller, Sister Desiree, from the area of Delaware. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. Good morning. Just want to say, you know, I got my book. I was so excited.
Amen. Praise God.
I got the book so much, I was up late reading it. Oh, Lord, and I woke up late. So, anyway, I wanted to say to Sister Lenny, thanks for reading it. I missed it. I know I heard her say page 107, but I forget the it was it Ministry of Healing, the book?
I think it was Medical Ministry, but I'm going to bring her back on.
Good morning. Good morning, Desiree. Yes, it was the Medical Ministry, page 107.
Ministry. And you were saying exercise is what the hidden element is. I just was trying to get. I missed it because I got on late and
they were
somewhere
talking about physical exercise being a blessing for our mental and physical ailments. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But exercise with cheerfulness.
Okay, with cheerfulness. Like you give with cheerfulness and you exercise with cheerfulness. Okay.
Yeah, just try to be happy.
Gotcha.
While exercising, instead of making it like some kind of chore, you know, something like that, just make it cheerful.
Make it cheerful. Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
Pastor Flemington. Sister Flemington. I just wanted to say this book is so interactive. Taking your phone and going through the videos, and I'm a visual person, so that was in the colors. The book, it is done with such quality and such. It's fun, and made it where the shower one, when you do the shower, you don't have to sing. It's so funny. It's just I was enjoying it so much. Oh my gosh. I just wanted to say, I came across when I was working, just asking for special prayer for a couple, a family who's been in crisis for some time, for several years, with one of their sons, talking about mental illness. But I went to the bank yesterday. And I lost a person's phone number, didn't have their number anymore in my contact. And I said, oh, Lord, when I get in contact with them, when you want me to, do you know, I ended up going to the bank, getting in contact with them, and they told me of a testimony, and basically we were saying that their spirits and demonic, and I was talking about, you know, people who are really psychotic or had delved into, this person had delved into some spiritualism, and so that's what happened. But she had the faith, and she prayed, and now the girl is on her way to college. So I told you about two different families, but I'm asking for prayer for that. lot of people dealing with mental health, or I'm thinking much of it is demonic as well. So just asking for a special prayer for those, and those who are dealing with demons, who are actually dealing with demons and they don't know it, and they're saying mental illness, but how does someone know? How do they conquer that? So I don't know, but asking for much prayer for that thing, for that, yeah, for recovery for them, because, you know, the resources are very limited here for young people with mental health, and a lot of times they try to help the, not even help the parents, really just waiting for them to age out, meaning that they turn 18 and they don't have to do anything with them or for them.
I understand. All right, we will definitely keep that in prayer. Thank you, sister. Thank you so much for sharing. And for those of you who were wondering what she's talking about the Biblical Booster Book. It is probably the most interactive book in the world. It has over 150 QR codes, but it is definitely the most interactive book on the pandemic, subject of the pandemic. We prove everything that is necessary to be proved. We have data from different sources. Some of it is video proof. Some of it is proof from that you can pull from websites, and you can use a QR code on your phone or tablet and go right to it if you buy the book. So, and there's a special price for now. The book is $60, but you can get, as we're trying to get it out to the world, there's $15 off if you put torso 15. TORSOE 15, or you can use the word family 15, family 15, and you can get your copy of the Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community. We've got a Sister Valencia, and she's asking about physical exercise for Parkinson's. And so I want to share something about that. It is very, very good. She's asking specifically how much. And so, you know, the basic answer to that is, how much exercise should you get? You know, you would just get enough exercise to, you know, if you exercise where you worked up to an hour a day, that would be great. But I want to read to you, this is from the MichaelJFox.org, okay, MichaelJFox.org. But this is a book on exercise with Parkinson's. It says, exercise is one of the most powerful treatments for Parkinson's disease. Many ask about the best exercise routine for Parkinson's. Most doctors say a safe, enjoyable regimen that helps manage your personal symptoms is the best approach. And then it just talks about how it slows the progression of it. It helps you manage the symptoms. And so just a lot of great things. So, of course, they mentioned things like, you know, boxing and dancing and that kind of thing. But if you can do, you know, any type of physical with your arms, but just even walking is a great exercise. Definitely staying more physically active will help you with Parkinson's. So, that's our answer for that. And let me go back to the phone lines and see if there is anyone else. No, not at this time. And we have about 5 minutes. Yes, sister.
I just want to ask for a special prayer for, I've been working with some individuals who, have been really praying about their health, and God has been answering their prayers. I just ask that you would help them to continue to stay close to God and realize that God is the one that's doing the healing. And so just if you could just pray for them, it's like maybe 5 or 6 people, and their minds are totally on their health, and they're really, really doing what's being required for them to do. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're going to turn it over to my wife and dream dove, Sister Maria, to have our closing prayer. May God bless you and keep you at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. And Lord, as petitions have been asked to be prayed upon for individuals, we ask that you will honor them in accordance with your perfect will. We pray for those that are in need, where their minds have been demon-possessed and mental illnesses are the result of their condition. We ask, Lord, that you would help them. We pray for those that Sister Lenny is helping as they are taking charge of their health. We pray for that small group of individuals to be able to stay committed and to stay inspired and encouraged to keep doing those things that would help them to be strengthened and to be restored in their health. We ask, Lord, that you will bless every heart on this line, bless everyone's life in a special way as we all continue to draw close to you. Help us to be faithful servants in doing your work and to be of service to others. We thank you for being our God and giving us your word. And may we remember, Lord, that this covenant that you have given to us, where you have promised that you will write your laws upon our hearts and in our minds, Lord, help us to be faithful to doing your laws. Do all we can in these times that are left because time is so short. Let us remain faithful to you and let us be workers of your harvest. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Closing song is, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. I will.